Well, we're going to grab Tim. We just had him on before the top of the hour, and then the music was running, and I think Tim was just getting up to the climactic kind of revelation of the story of Ghost to Ghost AM tonight. So, Tim in San Diego. So, if I were to give a headline to the story, the headline is, your mother saw your ghost, saw you as a ghost when you died on the operating table.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so what happened was, right when I get back from all of it, like a week later, I get back and she's taking me to my nutritionist appointment, and I see this car crash, and then she looks over and says, "What are you talking about?" Because I told her, "Wow, did you see that crash?" And then she's like, "What are you talking about?" And then like 5 seconds later, it was like a delay, and then it happened. And we just avoided getting in that crash. So then we went to the doctor's appointment, and she's telling the nutritionist about what happened. So she's trying to make me draw pictures, and I think these people are crazy. And so then we're on my way home from my appointment, and it's later in the evening, and it's storming and stuff. My mom pulls over on the freeway, and she says, "I'm really scared. I'm freaked out about what things that's happened lately." And she says, "When you were in the hospital, I came home from school, and I went to the restroom upstairs because Tim was in the other bathroom. And then she says that she was reading a letter from my brother, and I told her, Mom, I don't feel very good." And so she looked at me and said, "I looked really pale and stuff." And she says, "Well, honey, go close the door and give me my space. I'll come back and I'll talk to you in a little bit." So
right.
When she was done, she went out there and looked for me and thought, "Oh my God, he's in the hospital." So then she ran downstairs, and her boyfriend at the time was still in the bathroom. And so when he came out and she got a hold of him, she says, "Something terrible's happened to Timmy. We got to go to the, we got to find out what's going on." So she calls my uncle.
Okay. I got to get to the story. Andy's got to come somewhere here, Tim, because you got so many people waiting. Okay.
She calls my aunt. My aunt says, "Yeah, Timmy's in the recovery room right now." And I woke up and I had these pimples around my chest, and they said that I had died and that they revived me.
Wow. Well, glad you got revived. Thank you for getting to the end of the story. And also, thank you for hanging on as long as you did. A lot of people who are hanging on want to tell their story, and they'll get a chance to do it next on Ghost to Ghost. Let's keep them as short as we can and focus to the main meat of the story next on Ghost to Ghost AM. This is Ian Punnett. Let's go to Lori, who's been waiting in British Columbia on the international line on Ghost to Ghost. Lori?
Hi, Ian.
Hi.
I will keep this one short, okay? About 6 years ago, I lived and worked out in like a little bed and breakfast. There's a small restaurant and store. And I worked there as a cook. And 2 years before I had even started working there, the previous owner had died of a heart attack right outside of the kitchen. Anyways, I saw this guy everywhere. And one day I was in the kitchen prepping up for dinner. And there was not a soul in the restaurant or the store. It was really, really quiet. And I was working on the island in the middle of the kitchen, you know, doing prep work. And I hear somebody coming in from the restaurant into the kitchen, right in front of me kind of thing, going through the push doors to get into the kitchen and lowering a tray of dishes and stuff. And I look up, and there's no one there. And the next thing I know, there's cutlery getting thrown at my head.
Cutlery flying through the air.
Yes. And 2 seconds later, it was like somebody had walked around the island to right beside me and knocked everything off of the shelf.
Okay, that's freaky.
I know. It was really freaky.
And the origin of the flying cutlery, there is no other explanation. Nobody had...
There was not a soul around.
There was not a box of knives that were being balanced on a neighborhood seesaw or anything like that. They would have sent them.
No, but it was like a spoon and a fork came flying right across at my head.
Wow.
I know. And I ran out of the kitchen into the store, and I was like freaked right out.
I bet. So did anybody? Has anybody else ever reported a similar incident?
Yes. Yep. A lot of people have seen this man that had passed away.
Have they also been sporked like you, where they had cutlery?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very interesting. I think it was for us. That was well worth you hanging on. I hope it was worth it for you too. Thank you for sharing that. Appreciate that. That's Lori on the international line. Let's go to wildcard line. Luke is in Ducks territory. Are you a Ducks guy, Luke?
I am. It was a very good game today.
It was an awesome game.
Got a lot of excited people in this town tonight.
I was totally impressed. And I know that they're suffering down at USC, but that was some seriously cool football I was watching today. So way to go, Ducks.
Yeah. Well, hey, dig this. This is my ghost story. Okay. About 15 years ago, I was living in this basement in this house up here in Portland, and there's no windows or anything, and I had a strand of Christmas lights that ran from one corner of the ceiling to the other corner of the ceiling. And in the center, I had attached them with a piece of duct tape. So there was kind of a I don't know what you'd call it, but they were attached in the center of the ceiling, all right? So there was like two sort of bow type things. Anyways, I got into this sort of meditation type of deal where I would sit in the center of my room, and I would sit in the middle of a circle of candles that I would light around myself, and I would put a candle right in front of me, and I would stare directly into it and just sort of zone out on it. And one night, I'm sitting down there, in the center of the candles, and for some reason, I started thinking about ghosts. And I just started really fixating on it, on just like asking in my conscience, saying, if there's anybody here, show yourself, show yourself. And I just kept saying that over and over in my mind. And after maybe about, I don't know, 15 seconds of doing that, that center strand of Christmas lights came unattached. And my Christmas lights started swinging back and forth in above me. Like, I heard them drop, and then they just started swinging. And that was the end of my ghost. Like, that was the end of me thinking, ooh, I wonder if there's any way that we can conjure up some spirits. Because there's absolutely no way that, because a lot of people have said, well, the tape just come undone, but not at that exact moment where I was.
Not that exact second. So here's my question. Do you think that was the ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present or future?
I really don't know. I didn't stick around.
You didn't bother to stick around to ask a lot of questions. I don't blame you.
I blew the candles out, turned my lights on, and spent the night upstairs.
That's very interesting. Thank you, Luke. Appreciate that. Great story. Let's get to Alan in Fresno, California, on Ghost to Ghost. Alan? Really?
I am the master of demons.
Oh, really? Okay. Is that it?
No second
act, Alan. Just
I am Asmodeus. Address me as Lord Asmodeus. I will tell you.
You are. Wait. You are Gasmodeus. Gasmodeus.
Asmodeus. Now listen to me.
Asmodeus. Asmodeus. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I am in possession of Solomon's ring. I can command all the demons. I am possessing a body tonight. This body is growing weak, and I need your listeners to volunteer their soul to me.
You gotta do something about that. You gotta do. All right, very good. Thank you. Thanks for calling. And happy motoring. Let's go to Jim in Redlands, California on Coast to Coast AM. Jim?
Thank you, Ian, for being so gracious as to take my call. And if I could just say thank you to my stepfather, Bob, who turned me onto this show a couple of years ago.
Bob, you rock. Bob, you rock.
He does. When I was a young boy, maybe 12 or 13, my immediate family moved to our family property in Northern California, and we built a fort. And I was building add-ons to the fort, and there was a time where I was building up into the trees, and I'm looking out into the forest that was abutted to the house, and saw an older gentleman, and I thought it was my grandfather at the time, as he's walking near me, and he was older, and he had a well-worn buckskin pants, and he was as he came closer, I identified him as a Native American. And it was so strange to me. I was like, well, what's this guy doing here? And he walked, and later on, you know, I thought nothing of it. It was just weird that he was walking through our eucalyptus forest, and told my dad about it. And he said, oh, no, it's probably nothing. But, you know, just to be sure, let's just check the property. And we went out and checked the property. Nothing was found. And several years later, I'd use the forest as a bike trail to ride my bike through, and I saw the same character with a newer shirt, red, and buckskin pants, and yet he was much younger, and he looked at me and he smiled, and I just was like, oh, it's the same guy. It's just, yep.
Oh, your phone's going all Asmodeus on me. Suddenly Jim went all Asmodeus. Disappeared in a haze of Asmodium. Sorry about that. And it was interesting too about the Indian and the guy, and I'm assuming he wasn't doing the same drugs that Jim Morrison was doing, so I'm sure there's an end to that story, which we'll just have to imagine. Meanwhile, Julie is in Salt Lake City on Ghost to Ghost, west of the Rockies. Julie?
Hi, how are you?
Good. Happy Halloween.
Thank you. I just want to know, is it a long-distance call for a demon to call?
Tell me where Salt Lake City is in relationship to hell.
We're a little bit to the right and kind of to the north.
Maybe local then. I don't know. But yeah.
My story is actually about my sister. My sister is a police officer, and she's a really tough girl. And in my whole life, I've probably seen her cry about 10 times. So she and some friends heard about this haunted house that supposedly where this guy had committed suicide and the house was haunted. So she goes there. And several weeks later, I was at lunch with her. And she said to me, I have to ask you a question. I'm like, what? And she says, this thing has followed me home. I'm like, no. And she said, really? And I mean, she's getting teary-eyed over this whole thing. And I said, well, what do you mean it followed you home? And she said, I've seen it come out of my closet twice. And I said, were you sleeping? And she said, no, I was sitting up listening to the stereo, and it came through the closet. And she said, it's a man, and he's got on a hat, and it looks like maybe a 100-year-old period dress and all this kind of stuff. And she was hysterical. She said, what do I do? And I said, well, you pray and you have God make it leave. And she did, and it went away. So this last Memorial Day, we were going to clean off the fallen officers' graves and put flowers and stuff on their graves. And we were at a briefing breakfast prior to that, and they handed out little bios on the different officers who'd died in the line of duty. And they started talking about this one man who supposedly haunts this house. And she looks at it, and it was him. And she said, she looked at me, and I mean, she went white. And she's like, Julie, it's him, it's him. And that was the guy. And so instead of being scary and following her, he probably followed her because she was a police officer.
Oh, that's so interesting.
That is interesting, huh?
Yeah. And then any other recurrences?
No, not after that at all.
How about that? Now, talk to me about demons, though. Like, there's an interesting, have you seen the movie Paranormal Activity?
I did.
Okay, and you know how they discussing the difference between ghosts and demons?
Uh-huh.
Right, so is there, and I was trying to get a feel for this from based on some previous callers, too, is with a ghost like that, suddenly did her feeling about the experience change? Did she feel like it was less malevolent once she knew the history to it? Or did she feel like it was still, there was something that was coming after her?
At the time, she felt like it was coming after her. And she said to me this, you know, on Memorial Day, she said, you know, maybe it wasn't. Maybe he was just coming because I was a police officer and he understood, he thought I would understand who he was or something.
Right.
And she did feel differently about it this May than she did before.
Yeah, I don't know. And thank you. I appreciate that. I know I was throwing you kind of a curve by asking that, but I do think that's an intriguing question. Is when we feel like something is malevolent, does it change the way we perceive the experience from something ghostly to something demonic? And I never really quite understand the whole demonic thing in many respects, and I know this gets into a big cosmology issue and different theologies come into conflict about demons and such, but you know, that's our ghost stories, generally speaking, don't end in somebody being hurt or killed. They just end up in somebody being startled or having sort of a paradigm shift. Demonic stories seem to take on a different twist, unless, of course, it's like the previous caller, you know, Alan, where you have a demon named Alan. Let's go to Kentucky. Who's Jesse? Who's on the wild card line in Kentucky? Didn't pop up on the screen. But I think, what's that? Patrick.
Hello.
Nick is in Kentucky. Hey, Nick.
Yeah, it's Nick.
Go ahead. We got about a minute for you. Will that be enough?
Yeah, it's enough. Okay, so I had just moved into my new apartment, okay? And I just settled down. It started, like, moving my stuff in. Laid down there the first night, and I could, like, hear this whispering. Some little kid, like, whispering to me, like, I've been diddled by the guy that hosts Coast to Coast. And, like,
oh,
I knew
on,
he
dude.
Was saying that.
Oh, come on. Like, how hard is this, really? I mean, how drunk do you have to be for this to seem funny? I hope that you bleeped him. Great. Come on, Kentucky. You can do better than Nick. Come on. I'm counting on you, Kentucky. Give me somebody better than Nick to represent your state. Love Kentucky. Let's get to California, back up to Canada, Las Vegas. We're going ghost to ghost on Coast to Coast AM. That sounds good to hear that song. Johnny Cash and Ghost Riders in the Sky. You know, this was, I think they used it as a bumper last night, too, on Coast to Coast. Just love that song. And it reminded me that Roseanne Cash, his daughter, has a new album out called The List. And it's a collection of songs that Johnny Cash once gave Roseanne Cash and said, these are the 100 essential songs that you must learn to appreciate, I believe is kind of the understanding. In fact, that she had come from a rock and roll background, you know, Roseanne Cash grew up not so much in the South or in Nashville, but rather around Southern California. And she was the head of the local you know, Beatles fan club and stuff. And so when she finally joined her father on tour after he had gotten cleaned up from years of drug abuse, and she and he had reconciled enough to be able to, you know, perform together and have sort of this new relationship, he gave her the list of the songs for her to go deeper into the country roots of the family business, as it were. And that's what the new album is about. It's her favorite songs from the list. I have the album. It's tremendous. And if you're a Johnny Cash fan, I think you would enjoy hearing Roseanne Cash do those songs as well. So it's a selection, I think, of 12 of the 100 songs on the list. I hope it means there's another list album coming someday. And speaking of going back into the past, remember that tonight is the night we fall back. Spring forward, fall back for the daylight savings time. And we will be falling back here on Coast to Coast. Many of you listening in parts of the country that do not participate in daylight savings time, Hawaii, Arizona, parts of Indiana, we will be falling back so far on the air that I will sound like Art Bell doing 1 hour of Ghost to Ghost. That's how freaky the interruption in the space-time continuum can be. So it could happen tonight that you'll be listening to Coast to Coast in certain areas of Hawaii, Arizona, and Indiana, and suddenly, as though you have entered in some sort of wormhole, we will hear Art Bell for an hour, and then we will come back to the show. I'm just telling you. Be prepared. It's Halloween night. And anything can happen. And we also like to be kind of upfront with all the things that can happen on this show, because we know that some people take the show very seriously. For example, that news story about the guy in Iowa that walked up to somebody else in a store and punched him. You know, you heard the story. This happened right after we did a whole show about zombies on Coast to Coast. And then this news story came up about one guy walking up to another guy in a shop, accuses him of being a zombie and punches him in the face. And police are looking for that guy who punched the other guy. Just goes to show you the times we're living in, that somehow it's not even politically correct anymore to punch a zombie. You know, what have things come to this now that you see a zombie and you can't even punch him anymore? No, apparently not. Not even allowed to call them zombies anymore. It's the ambulatory deceased. So be careful, keep listening, and I hope you enjoy the rest of Ghost to Ghost on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Let's get to Jesse in Eureka, California on Ghost to Ghost. Jesse?
Hi.
Thanks for waiting as long as you did.
Yeah. My aunt Angel and I have a hide-and-seek ghost story. We were at her house, and it was the middle of the day. We were playing hide and seek, and I was hiding in the bathroom counting while she was out hiding somewhere. And when I was done counting, I opened the door, looked down the hall, and I saw her hair fling around the corner. And her hair is brown, long, and curly. So I ran over there to see if I can catch her. And I look around the corner, and I see her hair fling around the other corner that goes to the kitchen. So I run over there, but she isn't there. And the curtains were moving that lead to the deck.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran all over the house trying to look for her, but she wasn't there. And here's her side of the story.
So me, his aunt, was outside on the deck waiting for him to find me. And while I was waiting, all of a sudden, I see and hear this thunk on the glass sliding door of the deck, and I see the curtains moving all over the place. And I was thinking, oh, man, he found me, you know. So I was standing there waiting for him to come and get me, but he never came. So I opened the door, and I said, I thought you found me. You totally looked through the curtains. And he said, no, I thought you were in the house. See, I didn't even see you. And I thought you were in the house, but I wasn't. And we both saw the same ghost at the same time.
Huh. Very interesting. And Jesse, that was the best impersonation of your aunt I've ever heard. Oh, there's two of you. Oh, I see. Interesting. Thank you. I'm getting a kind of a weird slapback echo, so I'm going to put you on hold, but that was cool. And especially, I wasn't expecting Jesse to break into or hand the phone over to his aunt in it. It's like, suddenly it's like I survived on A&E or something. Cool. Don's in St. Louis. It's Ghost to Ghost.
Hey, Don. Ian. It's a real pleasure.
Thank you. Thanks for hanging on.
Like you said a few minutes ago, anything can happen tonight. And it just
yes.
I have a ghost story, but actually in a kind of a paradoxical manner, it starts with two questions. I'd like to shoot at the audience if anybody has any wisdom to either one of these. It might help me actually solve the mystery behind this. My questions are brief, and what they are is this. I'd like to know if anybody knows if a person suffers from a fever, can that actually affect their ability to have a supernatural, any kind of supernatural phenomenon? And my second question is, and of course, I don't think anybody would know because after it happens, you know, how are you gonna know? But people that have done research on this, maybe they would know. But if a person commits suicide as opposed to just dying, I'd like to know if anybody would really understand what kind of state that would leave them in terms of being on the other side. The Bible never speaks of suicide as a sin. It doesn't recommend that you do it. It doesn't recommend that you don't. So it's kind of a thing that I've always been curious of, and it kind of leads to my ghost story, which I'm going to right now. Briefly, my girlfriend and I were sleeping right next to each other in her front room. I was sick, and I was running a low-grade fever. I was sleeping on the couch. She wanted and insisted to sleep on the floor next to me. I felt a little guilty about that, but she didn't care. She wanted to. So I let her, and we went to sleep. About 2 hours later, I heard her kitchen back door, screen door, open up with an eerie squeal, and I woke up and heard it. And right away, I reached down and I start, you know, touching her shoulder, said, wake up, you know, wake up, you know. And finally, she woke up, and I said, there's somebody in your house, and they're coming to this room. And we heard heavy footsteps. And I say we, because I'm the one with the fever. She was the one nursing me. What happened was the footsteps got stronger as they came closer to the front room. Finally, a tall, what I would consider a male, hooded man in a dark trench coat stopped and looked at both of us. Neither one of us said anything back. Apparently, after about 5 minutes, it was satisfied with whatever its reason was, turned around, and did a reverse of the entire thing. Now, we were both freaking, and, of course, we went back to sleep. And the next day, we checked with several of her friends to see if anybody stopped by in the middle of the night. She did have a couple male friends that were rather tall, so we asked them, and they were like, no, usually I call when they come over. So we never tracked it down. Finally, she never wanted to admit this to me, but she finally admitted to me that several years before I met her, her and some of her girlfriends practiced Wicca in the house, and she claimed that it was some kind of a shaman, was basically just checking up on her and seeing if she was okay, because I was a stranger, she said, and, he just wanted to make sure that I wasn't hurting her. And I was like, okay, I guess I'll have to buy that because I don't have any other choice. And that's it, you know. But the weird thing about it was after this all happened, it left an eerie vibe The ghost, I would call him, was not invisible like your typical ghost you see through. He was a solid figure. But nonetheless, he didn't leave any negative impressions except that...
What do you mean a solid figure? What do you mean?
Well, I mean, you could not see through him like a typical ghost. I mean, it was a solid figure in a trench coat with a tall and a hat.
The shaman was.
Well, she claimed he was, yes.
Okay.
So that's what I mean by solid, you know.
So you could touch him.
Well, I wouldn't want to. I was like 20 feet away on the couch.
Right.
But I'm assuming you could, and we heard the footsteps very clearly on the hardwood floor.
Plus, of course, there's that rule about, you know, do not squeeze the shaman. You know, you're not...
Oh, get away.
I brought that one back from the dead.
That was good.
But let me ask you, though, and how does this... I mean, what are you looking for out of that suicide question? What is it that... I mean, I don't know if anybody will address it, but what is it that you're looking to find?
Well, ever since that happened, my girlfriend... She started acting sort of different, not towards me, but just in personality. Her idiosyncrasy changed a bit, and it was almost like she hinted towards wanting to join him.
Hmm.
And so I took that as, you know, a suicide death wish. And I even blankly asked her one time, and she said, well, sort of, because... He wants to protect me, and I feel like he's trying so hard I need to be with him. But I'm afraid to go to the other side because I don't know what lurks there. And I was like, okay, let's hope this concludes the end of the entire...
relationship.
Everything. You know? Yeah.
Interesting, Don. Appreciate that. Thanks for sharing. Great stories. Let me get to Jeff, Victoria, British Columbia, on the international line on Ghost to Ghost. Jeff?
Hi, how you doing?
Terrific, thanks. Happy Halloween.
Yeah, happy Halloween. Just to quickly answer the last caller's question about fever and spirits, there was an episode of MASH where Klinger had a severe fever and he was interacting with a disembodied entity.
Well, that settles that.
And to get to my noise and nonsense, when I was a kid... I lived in this housing unit, and we used to get posters ripped off the walls. The toilet would flush in the middle of the night. Taps would turn on. At one point, my mom's favorite mixing bowl went missing for 2 weeks.
That's the realm of poltergeist, isn't it? The kind of practical joke-playing spirits?
Yeah, I believe that's what it was that was going on, yeah.
Any history for why that would be happening to you?
Other than there's a history of sensitivity in my family.
Interesting. And nothing since then?
Well, I've had all sorts of things since then.
Following you around, as it were?
Not really following me around, just incidents that occur that... could be paranormal. Like right now, I work in a pub. I do cleaning at night, and it's supposedly got a ghost in it somewhere.
Have you experienced that ghost yet?
No, I have not.
That opens the door for next year, then, and sharing that story next year, Jeff. If you get one, make sure you call us back on Ghost to Ghost. Patrick is in Tugboat on a wild card line on Coast to Coast. Patrick?
Hey, how's it going, Ian? Yeah, I was about 3 miles off Cape May. I was in Freeport, Texas, at 19 years old, and I just started working on this crew boat. And the guys had told me, at first I thought they were pulling my leg, but they told me there that an engineer had died on board that boat. And, you know, I was only 19, so, you know, but I was standing watch a few months later, and it was just a hot, one of them hot Texas nights in Freeport, man, and I'm down there in the galley, and then I hear that door tag open up, man, and it's footsteps just right across the deck, and oh man, I'll run on up, you know, because I'm on watch, you know, I'm supposed to do that. So I run up and I run out that same door that was closed, and man, there was nothing out there. I mean, nothing, nobody. There was no way that anybody could play a joke on the boat because, you know, because there's only one way in and one way out. But oh man, I distinctly remember coming back in that into the area where I heard the boats, and just that it was like the AC was just cranked up. I mean, you know, I didn't know a lot about ghosts back then, but man, I'll never forget what that was like.
You know, I think there's something unique about these, whether it's a ghost ship or ghosts on a ship. There's something about that isolation of being out in the middle of the ocean, right? I mean, that is just
not area now.
You are not able to like run down the sidewalk to a neighbor's house. There's not a whole lot you can do. That has just got to amplify the whatever experience you're having.
Oh man, I'll never forget that. That was the scariest thing I ever had.
Well, I appreciate that, Patrick, and be careful out there. And let's get to Andrew in Las Vegas on Ghost to Ghost. Andrew?
Hello there, Ian. Pleasure being on your show. I won't take too much time. My story goes back to New Mexico. I'm originally from New Mexico, born and raised, and my dad is actually the one that told me this story. He said that back in the day when he was younger, he used to like to go out dancing and hang out with his friends. Well, they used to go dancing to this certain place in New Mexico. It was a dance hall. And they were all dancing. The place was crowded. The man was playing. And they noticed this really tall man, an individual, that was dancing with, like, several women. All the women were very attracted to him for some reason. And they saw him from the top up. He was a very tall man, like I said. A bearded gentleman, had like a top of suit, like a trench coat on, you know, type deal. And one of the women, as they were dancing, as the night progressed, looked down, and they were hearing all this tapping noise, you know, as he was dancing. They were, you know, hearing, and they were wondering what's going on, you know. They thought maybe he had tap shoes. Well, one of the women that he was dancing with actually looked down, and at this time noticed that he had hoof feet. And at the same time she saw his hoof feet, she turned around and said, "Oh, my God," or whatever she said. And everybody turned and looked, and a tail came out from the bottom of his jacket. And at that time, he turned, and it was just this big bang and a puff of smoke, and he left that whole place smelling like sulfur. The place had to shut down, my dad said, for like a month to try to get that sulfur thing out. But the weird part is...
Oh, that's not weird enough? Here's the weird part? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, they've never been able to clean that floor.
Very interesting. You know, and I take it on your dad's word, because I know your dad would never tell you something that isn't true. There is a history a bit to that story, which we'll get back to then coming up in our final hour of Ghost to Ghost on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett.